Hello, thank you for calling Podcast Phone. For Barely Podcasting, press 1.
Hi, this is Barely from Barely Podcasting Podcast.
Congratulations, you have selected the Barely Podcasting Podcast. The Barely Podcasting Podcast is barely funny.
Blah, blah, blah.
Barely provocative.
Blah, blah, blah.
And barely spontaneous.
So that's what I've been doing at work, trying to match my voice to the sound of the drills and the pressure things and all the gadgets and gadgets.
What? Oh, sorry. Sometimes funny, sometimes provocative. Oh, my bad. The Barely Podcasting Podcast is
sometimes funny. Sometimes provocative.
I like being without any clothes on, first of all.
But don't take my word for it.
Hey, this is me.
And the Bean.
And you're listening to the Barely Podcast.
With your host, Barely.
And now, your host who's barely just arrived, Barely.
Hey, that's right, it's Barely. And thanks, Chad and Amanda, from me and the Bean for that great intro. I really do appreciate it. This week has been kind of interesting. Pretty much stuff has been going on since the beginning, well, since before I did the feedback episode. And now it's time to, I guess, catch up. What I have in store, not sure if I'm going to use it all because I'm doing this part first, not last. So if I don't do it, it sucked when I tried to do it, so I'm sorry. But, and this is in no particular order, but alarm clock's not going off. People not doing their jobs and yelling at me. Oh yeah, Krabby Barely. Wasn't fun. The crazies in the ER, crazy driving a car. That's two different things. Oh yeah, booger snap. Don't ask me how that name came up. Also try to give my wife directions. And I meet Mickey's cousin. So, hey, let's enjoy the show. And, yeah, let's continue on because I'm done with my intro. I don't know about you folks, but I've always wondered, why don't alarm clocks go off? If you have your alarm clock set in the middle of the night, and the power goes off and it comes back on, so your alarm is still technically on, why doesn't the alarm clock go off at that moment? I mean, it would make a lot of sense. Okay, power went off. I'm an alarm clock. I might not have a battery backup. Battery backup might be dead. And so, what do you do? I mean, honestly, what do you do? Well, fortunately, the other night, and this actually kind of combines two stories into one. The other night, I'm laying in bed, and it's about 2 in the morning, and for some reason, I woke up, and my wife wakes up, and we both look at each other, kind of like, why are you up? And she's kind of looking at me, kind of, you can see that in the eye, in our eyes. We're saying, why are you up, without really saying it. And all of a sudden, the power flickers, goes off, and comes right back on. Fortunately, we were both up. We were able to reset our clocks. But it was one of those weird, weird things. And why doesn't an alarm clock reset itself and set it off, saying, hey, look, I'm off. I don't know when you need to get up. Wake up, you moron, and quit sleeping, you fat slob. But no, they don't. So if I would have been asleep, I would have been like hours late to work because my alarm didn't go off. I mean, do I have to be the voice of reason on some basic electronic thing that everybody needs? If I am, we're in a sad state of affairs, folks, because all of a sudden I'm going to send nuclear missiles like to the moon. Yeah, send it to the moon and then just like nuke the moon so we can all see it, so we can all see what a nuclear explosion looks like. Just for the hell of it. Don't make me be the voice of reason in electronics. When you strut down in the city, they Okay, so my last story really wasn't a combination of two. Well, it kind of starts a theme. The Krabby Barely theme. So I don't think that's actually going to be a story. The next day, after my alarm clock didn't go off in the middle of the night, so pretty much I'm up all night kind of watching for it. Kind of like, okay, did it go off again? And so I'm like waking up every 20 minutes, really getting not a good night's sleep. I go into work. And you know, when for some reason, the people that are really, if they're going to get you and get you aggravated, they always find the day that you just don't want it. Well, I had one of those days. I get into work on time. I'm just like dragging the whole way in. I'm just like, don't talk to me. Pretty much the whole way in. It was just not a fun morning. I get in, I sit down, and I'm doing my stuff and everything, and pretty much there was one person who I've been pretty much, well, I've been covering for. Yeah, that's a good expression. I've been covering for this person. Not like a legitimate kind of, oh, well, they're sick, so I'm going to cover and make sure your job gets done. No, they haven't been doing their job, and I've been kind of letting them slide on it, and it's something that I'm, even though I don't, I'm not like their manager or anything along those lines, I still have responsibilities that they need to do to get to me. A symbiotic relationship, so to speak. Yeah, the only reason why I know symbiotic is I think an episode of Star Trek or... was it Star Trek? No, it was Star Wars! Because they talked about the symbiotic relationship between the... Midichlorians and the Jedi Padawan kid things, and yeah, a symbiotic relationship where you kind of need the two together, and I am such a dork, I am putting Star Wars reference into this whole thing. But to get back to really what I'm saying, we have this symbiotic relationship where what she does affects what I do, but what I do also affects what she does, so we need to kind of be working as a team. Well, I've been kind of covering her, let her slide on a few pieces here and there, and finally I'm just, my boss had said, no, don't do it anymore. I know what you're doing, and it's not looking bad against you, but they need to know how to do their job. I'm like, okay, not a problem. If they need to know how to do their job, I'll back off. Well, this person comes up to me and I'm like, I'm kind of saying, okay, look, I need this. And she's like, no, I'm not doing it. And I look at her and I said, okay, fine. This project isn't going to move. And she just looks at me and is like, you're not doing your job. And I looked at her and I said, I'm doing my job. You're not doing your job because your job, you have to do part A for me to do part B. And I've been covering for you on part A. So now I'm not covering for you anymore. And then she has the gall to say, I'm not being a team player. I mean, come on, folks. When you actually make people do their jobs and they're not calling you a team player, now that's a manipulation in my book. And she has now been cut off from having that little bit of leeway. What do you think, folks? Should I give her the leeway back or should I just kind of say, nope. You lost it when you called me a non-team player on a day I'm crabby to begin with. The other night, and this isn't the same night that the alarm went off or didn't go off and the power went off, but the other night, my wife and I had to swing over to the ER for something. Nothing really major or anything. It was just we had to go there, and that was, or we had to see a doctor, and that was the only place we could get into because it was that late, and the doctor said, and just go to the ER. And in the end, outcome was okay, but we're sitting there in our little room just kind of waiting for the doctor to do their things and all this kind of stuff. They let a loony in. And when I was in college in Dayton, Ohio, was the only other time I've experienced a loony in the ER. And it was funny. It was some guy who they actually had to throw into a padded cell. And he kept saying, I am the werewolf. And he kept doing that over and over and over. And it was just hysterical. It was really funny. And He was actually a lot of fun to kind of just hang out with almost, but he was in the padded cell, so we didn't know what he was doing, but it was just funny because every so often he'd get quiet and then all of a sudden you'd hear, arr, arr. Well, I wasn't that lucky this time when they wheeled in the loony. This loony was yelling at the top of her lungs,
I want a cigarette. I need to go to the bathroom. Da-da-da-da-da. Get away from me. Da-da-da-da.
On top of her lungs. And eventually, because my wife's a nurse, so she knows, she can hear things and understand what's going to happen. And she's like, they're pulling out the leathers. They're pulling out the leathers. What does that mean? She's like, they're restraining her. I'm like, how bad? It's like, full body. It's going to be arms and legs. She ain't going to be able to move. And after a while, you hear, like, the gurney or whatever she's on just kind of banging around and everything. It's like, oh, boy, this loony is just stupid. And after a while, she's like,
I just want to go home. I just want to go home, and they won't let me go home and go to the bathroom, blah, 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 wah.
I mean, top of her lungs. And, I mean, you know at this point that she's nuts, that she's not thinking sanely, because if you're thinking sane, you think, okay, it's late at night. You don't yell and disturb everyone. But yet she was. And when the nurse finally came and said we could head back, everything was okay, I looked at the nurse and I said, would it be a bad thing if, as we're walking by her room, I just say, I'm going home. I wanted to do kind of an evil laugh there, and that just didn't work. But I said, would that be bad? And she just looked at me, and she started to giggle a little bit, and then she's like, you better not do that. And she watched me the whole way out of the ER. Was I going to do it? Was I going to just go, hey, I'm going home. I have the dumbest laugh when I'm trying to be, like, ultra stupid. So yeah, I don't have any good luck with loonies in the ER anymore. Where's the werewolf? One morning when I was driving to work, I mean, it's pretty early in the morning and usually the sun is on its way up, but it's not entirely up. And I'm driving in, and usually what you look over and see in the other cars are people pretty much half awake, just like myself. They're not really ready for work. They're not ready to be out of bed yet. And they're definitely not showing any bit of energy. Usually there's coffee in their hands or something along those lines, just to stay awake. Well, I get behind this one car, and I'm kind of sitting there and just kind of moving along, and the guy's kind of moving around a little bit, so I'm like, okay, maybe he has some really good music on. And then, out of the blue, and for no reason at all, he punches the ceiling of his car like 8 times. I mean, just bam, 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 bam. I'm just like, what's wrong with you? What the hell are you on? And I got to get out of here. And the guy kind of was swerving around a little bit, but it was just like, why would you punch the ceiling of your car? And it was hard, too, because I was actually watching the roof vibrate as he was hitting it. Since I'm in an SUV and he was in, like, a regular-sized car, I could still see the top of the car vibrate. I'm like, what the? I don't get it. I don't get people, I think, anymore. Because they seem to think that no one can see them in their cars, and yet they do stupid stuff, and I'm sitting there watching them. Yeah, make it a wise decision and hit the ceiling of your car. I don't get it. I don't get people anymore. Hey! Well, folks, I don't know if you've noticed, but the past couple weeks, I've been kind of fighting a cold. And with the weather here in Chicago going up and down and up and down and up and down, I mean, it does not get a cold out of your system any faster. And yet I'm fighting this thing. And usually at night, I know I'm going to have problems breathing, so I'll kind of prop myself up a little bit so that I can breathe and my nose doesn't get all stuffed up. And I've usually, in this time period, too, And when I have a cold, I usually think of my wife and I let her go to bed first. Let her get to sleep. Because if she's asleep, then I can get into bed and maybe have a little bit of stuffed up nose or something. And she's already out and she won't wake up. Well, I tried that the other night. Let her go to sleep. I get up there and I'm laying down and I'm tired and I'm falling asleep. And all of a sudden I just hear her go, booger snap. I'm like, what? And again, I'm thinking she's talking in her sleep. I'm hoping she's talking in her sleep because I have no idea what the heck a booger snap is. But she just plainly looked at me and said, booger snap. And I'm beginning to think booger snap is like that orange thing that helps you puke that I referred to back a few episodes ago. And so I just get quiet again. I'm almost asleep. And she does it again. Booger snap. I'm like, what the? What is a booger snap? And she is dead staring at me. And she's like, your nose is making a booger snap. When you inhale through your nose, it snaps. It's annoying. Stop it. I didn't know I was doing this. I was just laying there. I was almost asleep. And so I'd go kind of clean the nose out a little bit, blow it and do all that kind of stuff. And then come back, lay down, almost get to sleep. You're in that one phase where you're almost asleep, but yet if something happened, you could be awake just moments later. And what does she do, folks? Booger snap. Barely's time in Japan. No wonder they call us ugly Americans. Yes, folks, you know what that song means. It means it's time for the Barely Does Something Stupid in Japan. This really isn't a stupid thing I did. It was very much an observation, so this actually might be quick. I'm not sure where all of you live and work and that kind of stuff. You normally do not have the same restaurant within viewing distance of each other. I'm referring mostly to, like, your fast food chains, your Burger Kings, your Wendy's, your McDonald's, those kind of places. You normally don't have them within eyeshot of each other, let alone short walking distance from each other. Well, where I lived was right near the Roppongi district, or it's more like the Roppongi district because the R's and L's blend. But the Roppongi district had a lot of nightclubs. It was also very close to the Gaijin ghetto. And if you look up the dictionary term of ghetto, this is the lame part of the show. I'm sorry, but I don't want you to think along the lines of, ooh, rough neighborhood. Ghetto just means people with similar backgrounds in a similar area. Or it just means people with a similar background in a community together. Gaijin means foreigner. So it was a bunch of foreigners pretty much all together, and it was a very dense population of expatriates, not just American expatriates, but from all over the world. So you had everybody together. But also the population is so dense there that you can put, and I kid you not, folks, three McDonald's within eyeshot of each other. Where my school bus picked me up, there were three McDonald's that I could see. There was one right behind me. We got picked up right in front of a McDonald's. There was another one on the other side of the street, on the other side of this major four-way intersection. I could walk it in 3 minutes. And also, from this intersection, if you went down the street a little bit, maybe 150 yards, there was a third. Now, you kind of think that these three would cross-cancel each other out, that they wouldn't be all that productive when it came to money-making. I later learned, because when I came back to the States, my first job really, well, I had a job being a paper route boy before I went to Japan. When I came back, I was kind of forced to go and work at McDonald's. But I learned when I came back, because we had a couple corporate guys come through and they were like, oh yeah, you should see these three McDonald's. I mean, they were pretty close to each other, but yet they were making profits that were within the top 10 of the whole corporation. And I said, well, where are they located? And they explained it out to me. Like, you have one here, and one here, and I kind of did the triangle. Because, I mean, it really was a very neat triangle that you can make out of the three locations. And the guy's like, yeah, yeah, that's pretty much it. And I pulled out a map, and I think there was a Japanese guy there, too. They were going through training them. I was pretty close to corporate headquarters when I came back. And I said, okay, so you're looking at here, here, and here. And I point out to pretty much dead on into those three locations. The Japanese guy's like, And I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, those are pretty much pretty big heavy hitters within the McDonald's Corporation. And I'm like, holy crap. And they're no more than five. You can walk to all three of them in under 5 minutes. Go figure, folks. I mean, eye shot of each other. And yet you can still make a lot of money. I think I'm going to go put a Starbucks right next to the Starbucks down the block. If that's the way it works, I'm going to get the people walking out of one to come into mine. Hey. Hey. I think it's time to ban my wife from going to areas she doesn't know to go garage sailing. My wife is a hopeless addict to the, here, we don't want this junk, so we're going to sell this junk, and you're going to take this junk home so that I can have more junk that we're never going to use, and we're going to eventually just give away junk. My wife loves the garage sales. She will take days off of work if she knows there's a big garage sale. She works every other weekend, and when she has a big garage sale, she'll take off of work for it. I kid you not, folks, she will take off of work so that she can hit one of these big garage sales. Well, the other weekend, it happened to be one of those big garage sales she took time off for. She loves to sleep in just as much as I do, unless there's a garage sale. She woke up at like 6 in the morning to be down at this certain location to meet up with a couple friends to go garage sale. And I'm like, I don't get it. It's sleepy time. Well, on the way back, she tried a different route. And so she's driving around and somehow gets lost. I don't know how she got lost, but she got lost. And she calls me up. She's pissed. Well, I mean, I can kind of understand why you would be pissed, but she was pissed, really pissed, and taking it out on me. And I'm like, honey, I didn't do anything. I'm just sitting here playing with the little girl. She didn't seem to understand that. And she's like, get on my computer. I'm like, okay. So I go over to the computer. She's like, I'm at this intersection and this intersection. I'm like, okay, hold on. It's going to take me a little bit. My wife's computer is slow. I built mine. So I know mine is pretty fast, but with a little girl, I'm not going to bring her down into the basement. So it takes me a little bit. I finally get it up and running. I get it into where I think she's at. I have a pretty good idea. I have the maps kind of zoomed in. I'm like, okay, well, if you're at this and this intersection, here's how you're going to get home. And then she's like, well, I'm not there anymore. That was 5 minutes ago. I'm like, you didn't pull over. She's like, no. I'm like, okay, pull over. She's like, well, there's a car behind me. I'm like, pull off the road. I mean, literally, pull off. Just be off of the road. Let the car go by. Just sit there. So I ask her where she's at again, and she tells me where she's at. I find it again, so I kind of have an idea where she's going. And I'm like, okay, here's what you do. She's like, well, I'm not there anymore. I'm like, I just told you to stay still, don't move. She's like, and now we're teeing out. The road tees out, and I'm turning this way, I think. I don't know. So she turns one direction, and I'm trying to follow her on an online map that really doesn't say where she's at. I'm just trying to guess where she's at this point. Finally, I get her to pull into a Walgreens. But when she pulls up to this intersection, this is the classic part. I'm like, okay, where are you at? She's like, well, it doesn't have an intersection name, but there's a Walgreens over there, and there's this blah, blah, blah store over here. I can't even remember what it was, but it was some like little dinky chain store that is on every street corner. Oh, yeah, she's like, there's a Shell. There's a Shell gas station over here. There's a Walgreens over there. I'm like, that does me absolutely no good. Google Maps does not say, oh yeah, there's a Walgreens here and a Shell here, and there's a bar here, and there's something else over there, and I had no clue, and I'm just trying to figure out where she's at. It took me 20 minutes to catch up to her because she refused to pull off to the side of the road. Any lady out there who might be listening, if you get lost and you call your husband and they're trying to give you directions, pull off to the side of the road so they can give you accurate directions, please. Otherwise, they're going to want to strangle you the second they see you. Oh, I wanted to strangle my wife so much at that moment. It was just like, honey, you're killing me here. Pull off to the side of the road. If you're going to ask for directions, stay still. Okay, the show I'm going to review this week is one I kind of gave an unofficial review to a couple months ago. But now I'm going to do an official review of this one. And it is a show that will have a limited shelf life. Not that you can't go back and listen to it and it'd still be relevant. It's more, you know there's an end to it. It's a patio book. It's the Seventh Son patio book. Actually, it's the Seventh Son trilogy of patio books. It is one long story. It goes from beginning to end of this whole thing, but it had to be broken out into three parts just because of the size. Very similar to how Star Wars was done. Star Wars, at least what I've heard, was written for the most part as one long movie. And then Lucas had to break it up so it was actually feasible to do and have the story kind of flow through right. Well, J.C. Hutchins, the author of Seventh Son, has done the same thing. He has this story about seven clones who are derived from what is called John Alpha. And John Alpha has found out a way to, like, kill the president but using a four-year-old boy to do it. And it happens in the first three minutes, I think, of the first episode. He whacks the president. Kind of interesting, huh? Kind of an interesting way to get you a nice little hook into you right from the beginning of a book. Kill the president with a four-year-old. And that's how the whole thing starts. And the killer dies very mysteriously. So these seven clones, who didn't know they were clones, didn't know that there were six other of them, are brought together to find out how the original person that they were cloned from was, how he's behind it, how to catch him, and all these kind of things. And he goes through and really kind of develops each character. And each character, even though they're a clone of the other, they're all the same age. They all have the same memories up to a certain point. All turn out different. You have, like, a geneticist. You have a carpenter. You have a criminologist. You have a priest. Kind of a nut job. And a loony. Kind of a conspiracy theorist, loony computer whiz guy. And a military personnel. I mean, talk about different professions and ways they look at the world and everything, all coming from the same starting point. And then they wind up like this. And it's the story of how they're going through and how they're going to catch the person that they were cloned from, who was the bad guy in essence. And it just opens a whole new world and a whole new realm into what's going on. Seventh Son is, like I said, a trilogy. The first book was Deceit, Seventh Son Deceit, which introduced it all and then came to an end in early August. This past week, Seventh Son Deceit has started. And the nice thing about it is from the second Seventh Son, or the first novel ends, to the time the second novel begins is about a minute. at least in the storyline of the whole, of all three books. It keeps going. The story keeps going. There's no breaks like I think people are used to in maybe Star Wars or something, where the first one ended and then there seemed to be a break and before the next one began and there was another break and then the third one. This is flowing right through, so you can actually like take off the interview show and the bonus episodes that would come in between these episodes and make it one long book, and you would not know where the breaks were. It is an absolutely amazing concept. J.C. Hutchins voices all the characters, and once you get used to each character and you can kind of figure out who they are, the voices J.C. Hutchins does is amazing. Just the subtleties to them where you know, okay, that's so-and-so, and that's this one, and that's that one, and that is so-and-so. And you're talking about clones who have the same vocal cords. They should all roughly sound the same. And yet he creates a little nuance with each one of their vocal patterns and their voice and their accents where you can pick up which one is which really quick. And it's a multitude as well of characters that are all over the world. It is an amazing book. Honestly, folks, you gotta listen to it. If it ever comes out in print, you gotta buy it. If there's ever a movie or a miniseries done of it, you gotta watch it. I mean, it is just that enthralling. JC has done an amazing job on this. And the audio quality is just beautiful. I mean, you just would not be able to tell that this was just a guy sitting probably in his basement or in his dining room or something recording on a microphone. It's just excellent audio quality as well. And he gets some really, really good music as his intro and extro music. He has a new band and a new song for this one, for the Deceit book. So, again, check it out. And this is one that you'll be able to check out from the beginning and move all the way forward. So if you're kind of going through a lull where you don't have too many shows in your podcatcher, definitely start at the beginning of this one and move all the way through. You'll have enough time to catch up. You'll build up a little bit of a library of other shows. And you'll just enjoy yourself. You get so wrapped up into this book. It is just completely and utterly amazing. So go check out J.C. Hutchins' Seventh Son. It is at jchutchins.com. I will have a link in the show notes. And here is his promo. And also, drop him a line and let him know if you're a new listener. And if you are, let him know Barely Podcasting Podcast sent you over. I think I've mentioned this before, that my computer and my audio setup and everything is down in the basement. That way I can kind of be as messy as I want and I don't have to hear about it. Unless, of course, my wife comes down to do laundry and then she's like, this is a mess down here. I'm like, well, it's my space. It's not in front of everyone. It's not messing up anything. It's my space. It's in the basement. So that's that. Well, the other night I was down here and it was just before PME started, because I was talking with Corby from the Twisted Pickle and Mikey from Public Nuisance Radio. And I was just getting ready to sign off, and I saw out of the corner of my eye something dart underneath a bookshelf I have. I have fake walls, I guess you can say. It's just like bookshelves that I've lined up that make a fake wall. Anyway, I saw something dart underneath there. It was big, it was dark, and it moved really quick. So I'm trying to figure out, what the heck is that? It can't be a spider. I've never seen a spider move that fast. It cannot be a snake, because a snake would slither. This thing shot. I mean, it was just, boom, gone. Find out that it's a mouse. And where we live, as recently as 3 years ago, where we live now, used to be a cornfield. So, I mean, this is natural habitat for, like, field mice and all that. And that's what it was. It was a field mouse. And I was actually able to see it. It's like, okay, that's a mouse. Well, I'm trying to use a garbage can to just kind of trap it. Just kind of get it over, drop it on, and boom. Hey, I caught a mouse. And then kind of slide something under, flip it over, and then take it out to a field and let it go. because needless to say, folks, my wife would not let me just use my high-powered BB gun that I have and just lay on the basement floor and just shoot it, which would have been, like, really quick and simple. She said, no, just take it out and release it, but get it away from the house. So needless to say, I'm trying to figure out how to do this. And I figured, okay, mice like peanut butter. So, okay, now how do we entice a mouse to fall into a garbage can? Because that's going to be the safest way for me to get a mouse out of here. And it's also pretty deep, so it's really hard for a mouse to kind of climb out. So needless to say, I'm trying to figure this out. I'm like, how do I get peanut butter into a garbage can where it's going to make the mouse want to stay in there and I don't have to be, like, sitting right over top of it? Came up with an interesting idea. I used a cardboard box, made a ramp that went up to the flap of the box where I'd put a toilet paper roll on the flap with the peanut butter at the end, so it was hanging over really nothing. So the mouse came up, went into the toilet paper roll, and as soon as it got over where it was no longer balanced, thing went in, the toilet paper tube went down with the peanut butter and the mouse, all went down, boom, into this nice little contraption. Needless to say, folks, it took me an hour from going from, I'm just going to drop this garbage can on top of the mouse, to coming up with my brilliant idea. It took me over an hour to come up with that idea and actually implement it. It took me under 5 minutes for that mouse to be caught, whereas over an hour of me chasing it around my basement and whatever, ever so often just peek out going, hello, I'm here, and then dart away. I'm like, ugh. I was so ticked, and it's also 11:30 when this mouse makes its first appearance. I didn't get to bed that night until 1 a.m., so that made Barely a very crabby, crabby man at work. But yes, I did get it. And then I had to take it over a mile away because doing research on the net found out that mice will find their way back if it's under a mile. So make this a public service for you all, folks. If you catch a mouse, take it a mile away. Also use a high-powered BB gun and it's just, boom, dead. Oh well. At least I'm not in the doghouse, I guess you could say. Okay, folks, I have a little addendum onto this story. Where I left it, I had let the mouse out and everything, and I'm sure you're listening to it going, you just said that 30 seconds ago. This is the next day. My wife went out and actually bought mouse traps. The old-fashioned traditional ones. I'd listened to a Gabberjaw show with John and Wendy, where they were talking about they had, like, a mouse in their house. Wow, I sound like Dr. Seuss. They had a mouse in their house. And it was not a mouse. Now, obviously, I'm not Dr. Seuss. But they were talking about using the traps with glue and everything, and that it was torturous and blah, 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 blah. So I'm like, I'm just going to go back to the traditional snap at the neck. So my wife picks up some of those while I'm at work. And I'm trying to figure out. I've never used one of these before. I'm trying to figure it out. And she's like, you just do this. And she flips it open and connects it. And she's like, there, that's how it's done. And I'm watching it. It's a fully loaded one. And she puts her thumbnail barely touching the lever where you put the food on. And it snaps and nails her in the thumb. Okay, well, she was in, I mean, it was just excruciating pain for her, I could tell. But yet at the same time, I'm kind of laughing inside going, that was kind of funny. I know I'm burning in hell for this, but I mean, it was just, she's trying to show me where the release is, and what does she do? She releases it, so it goes, whoosh, bam, and just nails her. Well, folks, we're up to that part of the show where I kind of wrap it up and give feedback and all that kind of stuff. So, yay, let's get into it. A lot of the feedback I have been getting this week has been centering around PME, the Podcast and Portable Media Expo that I did not get to go to, which I'm going to next year. No ifs, ands, or buts about that one. I'm setting myself up so that I will get out there. I just saw how much fun people were having this year, so I figured, why not? But my first piece of feedback is from Oblivion, from Eblow, the podcast and weblog. And here is his voicemail. Actually, it goes back a lot further than just PME.
Hey, Bailey, it's Oblivion from eblowtheweblog.com, and I recently thought to go back and listen to podcasts from right after or right before the Blues Fest gathering, the Chicago gathering. And I listened to yours, I listened to Philosophy Guys, and I had listened to John and Wendy's before. But it was cool. I mean, you know, here it is, what heck month is it? September. So that was a while ago already. But to kind of get a flashback, oh, yeah, I just got cut off. I love people. Somebody that I know is not going to do the speed limit on this road. Beautiful. Anyway, it was a great little flashback to a fun gathering, a very fun gathering. And it reminds me that although I think I recorded some stuff, I never posted my show because I was a major slack this summer. But I never posted my after Blues Fest show. So I'll have to go back and dig out that content and see if there's anything worthy of posting. But anyway, I am now listening to a more recent show of yours, and it did take me a while to get caught up on yours. Whatever, it's a long story. I didn't have a listening device and blah, 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 blah. Finally got a new iRiver, catching up now, et cetera, et cetera. So, enjoying the show, and just wanted to give you a shout and say that the Blues Fest show was quite enjoyable to listen to, and the other show that I'm listening to now is also quite enjoyable. So keep on rocking, buddy, and we'll catch you later. And good luck on the... I'm so out of touch with podcasting, I don't even know if the peer awards have been awarded yet, but good luck with that as well. So... that's it. Catch you later. And again, this was Oblivion babbling at you. Bye.
Yeah, that was going back to actually my first podcaster meetup. Actually, my only podcaster meetup. But yeah, that is something that it was really interesting. Kind of once I got this voicemail, I started looking back at some of the old pictures. I'm like, wow, that really was kind of fun. And I kind of wish I could do that again, like all the time. I don't know. I might try to help set up something where Chicagoland podcasters meet up maybe a little bit more frequently than once a year. So, anyway, I got this next voicemail. This is from Mrs. B, from Mrs. B's Patriot World. All about your New England Patriots. Really a very knowledgeable football person. And she was the 2003 Fan of the Year for the New England Patriots. Well, I'm a Bears fan, so let's just put it that way. Anyway, here is her voicemail, and this is going to start off the PME segment, I guess.
Hey, Bailey, it's Mrs. B here, Mrs. B's Patriot World Podcast. And yes, it's a football weekend, as all weekends are in the fall, but you know what? This is Podcast Media Expo weekend, and we're all stuck home alone. So we can all be sad together, buddy, but we have each other. So hang tight in the Skype chat, and we'll just have to support each other and make it through. Next year, dude, we'll be there next year. Love you, buddy. Take care. PatriotWorldPodcast.com.
And, yeah, I mean, it was just kind of, you're sitting here, you know, everybody that you kind of want to be hanging out with is in one location. You can't make it there. So, yeah, it's kind of a tough moment when you're in that. But, yeah, Mrs. B, we were hanging out on Skype listening to what we could from PME. We were getting also... a lot of updates on Flickr, and everyone who couldn't go was kind of hanging out there just keeping up with what was going on and what we were all missing and what I hopefully won't be missing next year. So the next few voicemails, I think I'm just going to throw on. It's all from PME, so it's like, okay, I just can't say anything about it because I want to cry. Nah, it was... Actually, people did remember me, and which I do appreciate. And here they go. I'm going to start off with Corby and Mikey. From Corby, again, from the Twisted Pickle. Mikey from Public Nuisance Radio. They left me a voice message as soon as they got there. It'll be followed up by Charles from Mostly News, who is on his way down there. And then CJ from Love, Long, and Prosper there. So, yeah, here they are.
Hey, Barely, what's up? It's Mikey from PNR. Standing here curbside with Corby from Twisted Pickle, waiting for our goddamn shuttle bus to arrive. Fairly uneventful flight. I started out the day on a government watch list. So I'll get more into that in PNR Show 25, Shameless Self-Promotion. So, Corby, you want to say hi to Barely?
Barely, I'm going to find Andrew, and I'm going to kiss him right on the face, and then I'm going to make him give you that kiss in return when he returns to Chicagoland, and then it will be like my lips and your lips touched. Okay, are you sufficiently creeped out now? If so, press 1.
Corby, that was gay. Anyhow, you will be here with us in spirit, and we will consume much lovely beverages in your honor. So we'll be keeping up, and check out Corby's website, because he's going to be vlogging this entire trip. So you can follow our progress through the drunken debauchery. Talk to you later.
Hey, Barely. It's Charles Cadenhead from Mostly News. I thought I'd give you a shout. I'm at the airport waiting to fly to Ontario in the PME. So I had some time to kill. I thought I would just check in with you, see how you're doing. Warn you that you may get some drunk phone calls from me this weekend, and just kind of rub it in that I went and you didn't. Anyway, we're going to miss you. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Hi, Barely. This is TJ from the Love, Long, and Prosper podcast.
Woo! I'm drunk!
And we're at the Pod Media Portable Expo drinking and thinking of you. And that was really lame. But I'm trying to find a bottle of water because I had all this to drink. And now, if I don't have a bottle of water, I'm going to need to take all this aspirin. And aspirin has the word ass in it. Can you see that on your show? Because that's bad. And we need to get some water. That's all I'm talking about. So love ya. And, wow, I'm gesturing with my hands. I'm so retarded. Okay, bye.
And here's the even kicker. These I just got in today. Well, today meaning Sunday, where I have Charles from Mostly News again. And P. Dilly from the podcast Pickle. Yes, the man himself, the Dill Man. Leaving me these messages. I think P. Dilly didn't realize I wasn't there. But then again, with the amount of alcohol that I'm hearing was consumed, I'm sure I was there in someone's eyes. So here are their messages.
Hey, Barely, this is Charles Cateman from Mostly News. How are you doing? It's Sunday, kind of morning, afternoonish. I'm at the Toronto airport. And, you know, I really want to apologize. Ontario airport. Thank you, Danny. That was Danny from True Seekers. I really want to apologize if I left some noxious drunk dialing calls. I really don't remember if I called you or not. I really don't remember much about this weekend. I'm sitting here with Gary, and I'm sitting here with Jeff from the forums. And we're trying to remember what happened, and there was this, Kevin was there, and he was doing body painting, and we think there was nude artwork, and Dave Flusher had something on his butt, and T. Morris was in the pool, and something happened to his clothes, and Eva was taking bets, and there was a lot of alcohol, and Danny bought me some food, I think, and then...
Charles got me drunk.
I bought Danny a beer, and apparently Danny's a four-limit gal. And so it was just a crazy night. I think I got some sleep. I'm not sure. There may have been mints on the pillow or something. I don't know. I'm really sorry. Again, if I called and it's not work-friendly or safe, please just delete it. All right. I hope you're here next year. It'd be great to see you in person. So I guess I'm done. All right, bye.
Hey, Barely. This is P. Dilly from Podcast Pickle. Last night, you know, I had a few to drink, and I don't know if I even met you this weekend, much less came to your room or called. But, you know, I found a lot of people I had thrown in the pool last night when I was drunk. And I'm at the airport now with Wendy and everybody, and they were telling me all the people I threw in the pool. And I don't know if I threw you in the pool or not, but I don't even know that I threw anyone in the pool. But if I did throw you in the pool, man, I hope the pool was warm, because there's not much I can do about it now. So they're calling my flight, and I just had to make this one call before I caught my flight. So I hope the water was warm. And I hope to see you next year. Maybe I'll remember you and won't throw you in the pool. Bye.
Okay, two more really quick bits of news, and then, boom, I'm out of here for this week, and we can wrap it up and go, yeah. Episode 34 is in the can. Woo! First bit was, I know I've been asking a lot of people lately to, hey, head over to podcastpeers.org. They're doing the Podcast Peer Awards, and it's all done. It wrapped up no more than, I think it's 24 hours ago from when I'm recording this right now, so it could be like months down the road when you listen to it. But they just wrapped up last night. I woke up this morning, figured, okay, I'll check it out, and I was coming down to get pants from the laundry room anyway, so I just kind of refreshed. You are listening to the Podcast Peer Award winner for the newbie category. So I guess from now on, I'm an award-winning podcaster. Yeah, like my ego needs anything more like that to keep it going, right, folks? Seriously, though, everyone who voted for me, I do appreciate it. I really do thank you. It does mean a lot that, namely, my peers have been able to say, yes, this is probably one of the better ones out there. And every podcast I was up against in the newbie category were heavy hitters. I mean, I honestly, when I saw the final list come out at the 1st of September, I was like, okay, there's two there that are going to beat me, without a doubt. I know it right from the get-go. I'm dead. I'm just dead. And to look at it and look at the final rankings and everything, it really does mean a lot. And again, I don't really see any losers in this category. I think all the shows get a little bit of extra exposure, which really, I think, is what all of us are looking for anyway, is that extra exposure. And this did say that you are having a very good show, so keep it up. So to everyone who is in my category and everyone who is nominated for a Podcast Peer Award, whether you're listening to the show now or later, you guys are all really well-done shows. I mean, there were some shows that a lot of people said should have been nominated or should have been part of it that didn't make it. You did. So you were definitely a winner in my book in that one. Also, the last bit of advice, or not advice, news, was there is a new podcast out there. I heard about them from Corby from the Twisted Pickle. It's Chit Chat Moms over at chitchatmoms.blogspot.com. They are pretty much like the Manic Mommies with really holding nothing back. Manic Mommies very much make it family friendly. Chit Chat Moms cross the line every so often. Not that that's a bad thing. It's just a little bit different. Both shows are excellent shows. But I did want to give you an idea of kind of what I've been going through in the past month. Their episode number 5, honestly, is probably the best 45 minutes of podcasting I've ever heard. Not audio quality and all that. I mean, there's a lot of shows out there with excellent audio quality. The content here was the best I have heard in a podcast. It hit every nail on the head with what's been going on. And I think this is going to be the last mention I make of this whole thing. But it was really the best content I have ever heard on a podcast. So definitely check them out. Not that that was an official review. It really wasn't. It was just saying, hey, look, check them out. You really got to. Because the official review was Seventh Son, which just started their second book. He doesn't even have... I was talking with JC the other night. He doesn't even have his new promo yet. So I will put that into another show. I'll throw that in probably at the end of one of my upcoming shows once that promo comes out. But yeah, check out Seventh Son. If you haven't, you have to start from the beginning, which gives you a lot of content to listen to. Anyway, that's pretty much it. Thanks for listening, and I will see you all next week. Bye. How the hell can I do any work with this?